We have invited Daniel Silk to speak to us. He is a political analyst, and he joins us on the line right now. Good afternoon, Daniel. How are you?
I'm very good. Nice to be with you.
It's lovely to speak to you again.
Daniel, awesome to have you on the show. Thank you for being with us. Is it all going to be bad news tomorrow?
Well, I think everything is relative in a sense. It's a really difficult one tomorrow, and I think we have to be braced for a fair amount of bad news. I think every South African will have to be braced for this. Ultimately, you know, the issue is, you know, government now has to make the substantial and very difficult choices as to what it can cut from its expenditure side, and in fact, how does it cut? How does it cut expenditure? Does it cut salaries? Does it raise taxes? Does it do a combination of both? So if you are a state employee, you will be concerned about watching tomorrow. If you are a personal income taxpayer, you'll be concerned. And if you're a shopper and a consumer and just a regular South African, you'll be concerned as well about tomorrow.
Let's get into a little more specifics, because there's a lot of discussion about VAT. Do you foresee, we're not holding you to anything, we're blue skying, we're just blue skying today. VAT, do you foresee a VAT increase tomorrow?
Well, I have to say that I'm personally not in favor of a VAT increase. I don't think anybody wants a VAT increase, and I'm not in favor of it in general to try and stem this problem, simply because consumers are cash strapped. There's a very high level of debt. That's my phone. A very high level of debt in our society as well. There's been increasing debt for that matter. And I think too, our retail sector has been under great pressure as well. It'll simply create more strain for the average South African and add possibly also to increasing poverty. So I just don't like the idea of VAT. I don't think that it is politically prudent at this particular point in time. It's an easy one for government to wield in a sense. It brings in a fair amount of cash. It's fairly easy to implement. But my own view is that we probably won't see a VAT increase tomorrow. But don't hold me to it, as you've said.
But Daniel, where's the money going to come from if it's not the VAT increase? Where are they going to tax?
Well, look, obviously there's a whole host of additional taxes that can still be raised. And remember, we are a fairly highly taxed nation, especially for the relatively few personal income taxpayers that contribute the most to the coffers. But certainly, on the tax tables, we could see a new higher bracket for higher income earners, or some sort of wealth tax or an additional levy placed on our taxes in a progressive way. We can see capital gains tax increased yet again. The sin taxes on cigarettes and alcohol no doubt will be pushed up. We could see the fuel levy increased again, although it's another of those indirect taxes that I don't like. But the fuel prices come back somewhat in the last few weeks, and it could tempt government to do this as well. So I think that there are all of those tweaks of the existing taxes that could very well be increased, and I wouldn't be surprised if we all will have to dig deeper into our pockets as a result of what I've mentioned. Remember too that, we've had now for a number of years, the tax tables have not been adjusted for inflation. In other words, what we call bracket creep now applies. If you earn more because of inflation, you will pay more tax. You don't get the benefit of inflation coming off your particular tax bracket. And I expect that non-adherence to that will simply continue, which forces us all to pay more in personal income tax. That's where I have to see the money coming from. The minister could pull a surprise and perhaps have a very moderate or relatively small VAT increase, which would, I suppose, be a compromise for people like myself who don't want it at all, but understand that the money has to come from somewhere.
You know what it feels like, Daniel? It feels like we're kind of winding down. And by that I mean, you know, because of what's happening with Eskom, what is happening with businesses are finding it very, very difficult to survive in the South African landscape. Small businesses. Other businesses, people are getting laid off, people are getting retrenched, and yet we're looking at tax increases for a government that is not actually keeping South Africa working.
And with no accountability whatsoever.
And no accountability. Yeah, there's no accountability.
Steal.
We might have to you know, reach deep into our pockets, but there's nothing there.
Well, I agree with you absolutely that I think there's a credibility crisis from government. I mean, I said earlier today in a tweet that if government really is serious about getting the taxpayer to bail out inefficiencies and maladministration, at the very least, government should also announce a series of arrests for those who've been 100%. Implicated yeah. in state capture. Yeah. I mean, that should be the deal between yes. us as taxpayers and having some retribution in a sense. But I think you're quite right. And, you know, it's not just the taxes that we pay. There are an additional taxes on business. I mean, just to keep a business running right. in load shedding requires a huge commitment in terms of generator costs, which saps the profit of businesses on a monthly basis. From that point of view, you know, it really is a very difficult situation for South Africans. One can only sort of light at the end of the tunnel, I suppose, is that you have a Minister of Finance, you have a President, I still believe, who are committed to at least attempting to turn things around.
Yeah.
The question is, can they sell this politically in their own political party? And that's the crucial issue. Money we're going to pay, but can they sell a turnaround within the ANC to the leadership of the ANC so that we can take matters forward over the next few years in a really meaningful way?
Geez, wouldn't that be nice, Daniel? You know, I think that we have a Minister of Finance who is very much in touch with the needs of the people. And I can't say that about a lot of politicians. So let's see. Let's see what he delivers. I'm sure that we'll get in touch with you to do a post-analysis.
Delighted to.
Thank you so much. Have you got anything?
Yeah,
you look
Daniel,
like you've got another question.
Yes, I do. I just want you to know, are we going to hear anything? Lastly, finally, are we going to hear anything unexpected in respect of SOEs, state-owned enterprises, tomorrow?
Well, I have to say no. I think that, you know, what's already been out in the public domain is going to simply be discussed again. There isn't, remember, anything of great substance, any great policy change really has to be networked through the ANC itself. And there's no indication as yet that the ANC is willing to accept any greater degree of privatization, any selling off to any great degree of coal power stations in South Africa. So I'm afraid to say, I think the sort of status quo of trying to patch up the state-owned enterprises with business rescue and perhaps with better internal management is still going to be the prevailing course for government tomorrow and in the foreseeable future.
Daniel Silk, thank you so much for your insights. Yeah, Kathy's right. We'll have a post-mortem with you after tomorrow.
Yeah, it's always a delight to speak to you, even if what we're talking about is not the cheeriest of topics.
Thanks very much.
God bless. Thanks, Daniel. Bye-bye. That's Daniel Silk. He's a political analyst speaking to us from Cape Town. And, yeah, we will get hold of him after the budget speech to get a post-analysis and see what he thinks.